Good morning. It's my pleasure to be with you. I think this is the third year that I've had the opportunity to come at least once and be with you in worship and proclaim God's good news for us today. So thank you for that opportunity and privilege to allow me to worship with you this morning. I listened to Phil's sermon from last week. I hope you had a chance to hear it as well. It was very good. He asked the question, "Where is God?" And we're going to deal a little bit more with that question this week. But he also promised you that I would explain the ascension. And he described it as an elevator where Jesus goes up to heaven. I guess that works. We are going to talk about Jesus' ascension today, mostly from the perspective of what does that mean for us. I'm not going to get too much into the details of how God accomplished that feat. It's enough for us to know, I think, that God did. But we can talk about it a little bit. So I don't know how you picture the ascension. The description that we just read from the gospel has this image of Jesus blessing the people and then just kind of going from their presence up into heaven, whatever that looks like. I had the opportunity just a few weeks ago to join my daughter's AP European History course in a field trip to the Minneapolis Institute of the Arts. The museum place, where they have incredible artwork. And they were there, the 150 students from these AP Euro classes, after they'd taken their AP exam, to just go to the museum and see some of this wonderful art by European artists from the times of history that they had been studying. They had a 10-page worksheet that they had to fill out, all kinds of questions about particular paintings and particular art time periods and those, and comparing and contrasting and all kinds of fascinating questions that I didn't have to answer. All I had to do was walk around and enjoy the beautiful art and just kind of watch the students engage very deeply with what was presented to them. There was one painting in particular that, as I thought back on it, I thought was maybe a depiction of the ascension, until I looked at the notes and discovered it was actually the raising of Lazarus. But it was sort of ascension-like in that resurrection of Lazarus coming to life. But I thought, what would the students who were wandering around this museum think about the art? Now, they could think about the time period and the style of painting and those kinds of things, but much of the art that's depicted there, especially from those earlier centuries of art history, are pictures of Christian stories that come deeply from Scripture and deeply from our tradition. And I thought, what are these 150 students who are all kinds of different ethnic backgrounds, different religious backgrounds? I know for a fact that some of them are from Hindu and Muslim background, in addition to Christian, and perhaps some who have no background at this point in their life in religious tradition or biblical understanding. What does it mean to them when they see a picture of Lazarus rising from the tomb or rising from the dead? Or when they see pictures of the ascension, even though they didn't see one that particular day, but when you see something like that, how do you make sense of that? What does it mean? Now, there are all kinds of artists who have painted pictures of the ascension. I just Googled Ascension artwork, and there were like pages of pictures from history. I wish I could show them to you, but you'll just have to go kind of look at them yourself. Some of them had just kind of clouds lifting up Jesus, because Scripture says he kind of ascends on the clouds and will come back on the clouds, right? So somehow these clouds are the magic elevator that gets him there. Some of them had angels lifting him, these winged creatures kind of carrying him up into heaven. Some of them were kind of like a circus act where he was just sort of levitating and rising before the people. It doesn't really matter. But how do you make sense of what was happening in the midst of that ascension, that going to heaven? What difference does it make that Jesus went to heaven? And how could students or us make sense of this? Some of the questions we have are, how did it happen? But again, I'm not sure that the how in this particular case is particularly helpful, although I think we all have some kind of an image in our mind, perhaps from artwork that we've seen or just from our own imaginations, of what it looks like for Christ to ascend into heaven. So if we're not going to focus our time this morning on the how question, and I hope you're okay with that, we are going to focus on what difference does it make. What does it matter to us that Jesus Christ was born, lived, died, was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, and will come back again in glory to bring God's kingdom into its fullness? What does that mean for us? The ascension is an important part of that story. Very important. We're going to recite the Nicene Creed in a few moments, as soon as the sermon is finished. I just want to draw your attention to the second article, if you wouldn't, if you've got your bulletins nearby and want to look at that. It's on the next page. You'll have it handy and ready to go when we get to that right after the sermon today. Christians have been proclaiming since the Council of Nicaea this story, this understanding of faith, this picture of who God is and where God is and what God is about. I just want to remind us of that today, looking particularly at the second article, that we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, and for us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. This is the story that the church has proclaimed for centuries and millennia. This is the picture that artists have tried to proclaim as well, as they are using their skills and arts to be witnesses of this story through all the earth. What are your pictures of this story? When you hear this, if you were going to paint this, what would it look like? And what would it matter? The disciples were with Jesus as he told them and reminded them of the things that he had taught them, and then he opened their mind to understand the Scriptures. They hadn't understood a lot of things all along the way, if you remember. But at this time, he opens their minds to understand and to get a picture of what is actually going on. And then he leaves them. And what do the disciples do? One of our scriptures today said they look up until someone says, "What are you looking for? Go." Right? They look up, and then one of our scriptures says, the Gospel of Luke that I read says they went back to Jerusalem and went to the temple and worshiped God and were continually worshiping and blessing God in the temple. So one of the things that the disciples did after having this incredible experience of Jesus' death and his resurrection and then his ascension, I mean, they've seen some pretty amazing things in the course of these last few weeks that time period actually covers. They look up in amazement, and then they go and they worship. Our other lesson from the story from the book of Acts tells us that Jesus tells them as he is about to ascend, that they are to go and be his witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Samaria and to all the world. So two things that come out of this ascension story primarily. One is that the disciples are moved to go and worship. They have seen amazing and incredible things, and their response is to just go and worship, continually blessing God. And then to remember what Jesus has told them, to go and be his witnesses. And obviously they did, or we wouldn't be here today. If those disciples hadn't told that story, there would have been no Council of Nicaea, There would have been no proclamation of this story and this creed of faith that we lift up today. There would be no churches gathered around the world every week for millennia and centuries to again look up and to see Christ and to hear Christ in these stories, and then to also be called and gathered to respond to that the only way that makes any sense, which is to worship and bless God continually. And then to do as disciples have done for centuries and millennia, to go and be God's witnesses of this story. To share with the world why it makes any difference that Christ was born and lived and died and was raised and ascended and is seated at the right hand of God and will come back to bring to God's kingdom to fulfillment. That story makes a difference. And it must make a difference to you, or you wouldn't be here either. Now, the disciples had this sort of spontaneous combustion of energy around this because they saw it with their own eyes. They were there. Nearly 2,000 years later, it's kind of amazing that we're still here. But I think we're not still here just because we've heard the story and said, oh, that makes sense. Because it doesn't, right? That's why I wondered about those juniors in high school who are looking at these pictures. If they're seeing something that makes sense to them, if it's telling them a story that draws them to God, or if it's just, that's weird. Right? So you're here because you have also, at some points in your life, seen God, heard God's voice, experienced God's presence, felt God draw near to you, heard the voice of the Holy Spirit that has called you to be a part of the body of Christ. And your response to that voice is to still look up and be amazed. We are still amazed at what God in Christ has done. And it draws us together. No longer, we don't come out of spontaneous combustion of energy like the disciples did to worship. We come out of discipline, out of faithfulness, out of being disciples who gather week after week for centuries and centuries to look up together, to hear this story again together, to remember the power of the Holy Spirit that has shown God in Christ to us, and to faithfully wait until Christ shall come again. It matters to us, or we wouldn't be here. It matters to God, or God wouldn't have called us here. So we gather to worship continually in the temple for centuries, week after week. But we also are called by God to be God's witnesses, here, there, and everywhere. Part of our witness is just being here. As people see your cars out there, they know that people are still gathering around this story. But even more, our witness is through the lives that we live as disciples of Jesus Christ. As you choose to walk in the way of Jesus, as you choose to follow Christ in that path. I'm going to have the privilege of teaching a class at Luther Seminary in a couple of weeks called Transforming Congregations for Mission. And one of the things that I'm going to do is lift you up, if not by name, at least by your actions, as being a congregation who has chosen to intentionally wrestle with what it means to walk in the way of Jesus, to live in the way of Christ, to have that shared commitment with one another of how you will live as community for the sake of what God has done and to reflect that in the world. I don't need to remind you, but just so that you know that I did my homework, and we'll share some of this with my class in a couple of weeks. You have committed to gather around God's story and to find your place within that story. You've committed to living lives of simplicity. You've committed to living lives of discernment as you seek to find God in the world and in your lives and the people around you. You've chosen to work for reconciliation in all things and in all the world. You've chosen to be a place of hospitality where people of all walks and traditions and where all people are welcome to come and be with you. You have chosen to be a place of generosity that shares generously from what God has given you in all kinds of ways, and to be a people of gratitude who gives thanks to God and is continually blessing God in the temple for what God has done for us. Lives of gratitude. And I looked at your website. Yeah, there was a question, what's missing? I love that on your blog about this, because there were things there. There's more to the Christian life, more to following the way of Jesus than to the things that you've committed yourselves to, but you've committed yourselves to these things, to following Christ in this way. What difference does it make? Makes a difference in your lives. It makes a difference in the lives of the people around you. It makes a difference in the lives of the people that you work with and go to school with and live with and meet on the streets and will welcome into this place as homeless people in a few more weeks. It makes a difference as we wait. So, we look up because our Christ is ascended. Whatever that picture looks like to you. You can paint your painting with an escalator if you want to. Okay. We look up. We worship, continuously blessing God and praising God for what God has done and gathering together to look up together and to praise God together regularly and continually. And we are witnesses to this God, both here and there and everywhere. And we continue to walk the way of Jesus through our own death and through the promise of our own resurrection and the hope and promise of our own ascension, as God will welcome us at that final time, that ultimate time, that eschatological time into God's fullness of God's kingdom. That's God's promise and God's hope for us. And that's the story as we look up to our ascended God. Amen. Thanks be to God.